I sat down with former Ireland international and Piltown native Karen Duggan for an extensive conversation last week about all things League of Ireland, Piltown Camogie and the new Waterford FC women's side. We could only touch on so much during the show, so here's that full interview now.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
Perfect. Well, I'm delighted to be joined by former Ireland international, Piemount United veteran and Kilkenny senior Camogie champion with Piltown, Karen Duggan. I've rattled off a load of stuff there, and I probably missed out on some bits as well. But Karen, how are you getting on?
I'm really good, Aaron. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I mean, I can't complain too much anyways. I think by the time this airs, the bad weather will have been gone past us. But who knows, maybe it might have come back.
Hopefully.
I have to start, first of all, by asking you about the upcoming League of Ireland season. We're just over a month away from it starting up now for yourselves. First fixture at home away or at home against Cork City. You must be excited to get underway, given obviously probably the poor season in your eyes from last year.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, not only to kind of put last season to bed, but also because we've kind of had a fresh start. Now we've got new management in, we've a lot of young girls in, and obviously there's it takes a bit of time to get used to each other. And I don't know when it will click, but I do feel like it's going to click. I think that we're putting really good structures in place and there's some really exciting talent coming through. So while it might not click for the Cork game or till the second half of the season or maybe even the season after that, I feel like we're on kind of the start of a rebuild and it does feel like we're going in the right direction. I think that that's understandable and a little bit expected. Obviously, we won the league 2 years ago, but that was kind of just a bolt out of the blue given the players we lost with Rovers coming in the league. And then since then we've had a couple of players going professional, and it was just kind of the initiation of the rebuild, and we found it difficult to compete with the bigger teams last year. But we'll be hoping to be a bit more organised this year, and you know, might not go out and play the most expansive style of football that you would have seen from us 10 years ago, but we know where we are and we know what we're building towards, so we're excited to get going.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the big thing about this year that I was kind of thinking myself when it comes up to fixtures and trying to cover them is the great thing now that we won't have one side that's not playing a week because of the 11 teams in the league. We'll now have a full 12 at Waterford. Is that an exciting opportunity for yourself? Obviously, when you're travelling down to play against Waterford, you'll be close enough to home in Piltown. Is that something you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I am. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they shape up. And like you say, I always kind of look forward to the Wexford away fixture, and now I get to look forward to the Waterford away because it means I get home for a weekend, and it's probably one that my parents can come out and watch, and that's always nice as well for them to not have to travel too far to come and see us. So I'll be looking forward to running out, and hopefully the RSC, it's obviously a place I've played a couple of times before, but it's just a wonderful setup there, and I wish them the best. You know, it's notoriously hard to make an impact in your first couple of seasons in the league, but you'll see the likes of Treaty now, they're starting to build and come through, and Athlone, it took them maybe 4 or 5 years to break through, and they're reigning champions now. So hopefully the investment is there, that they see this as a long-term project, because obviously there's a huge amount of talent in the southeast, and you'd love to see it kind of thrive from a Waterford point of view, and maybe bring in a few more local girls around kind of Kilkenny Waterford area.
Mm-hmm. Obviously you mentioned Treaty United, and I know Waterford's first fixture will be away to them. Do you think sort of even just from your own perspective, if you see this new side coming up, obviously they'll be working with their own strategies on the field, but going over to play against someone like Treaty, who you've mentioned have come on leaps and bounds since they started, do you think they'll be able to take maybe a more of a looking at the backroom approach of that when they go there, to kind of see where they what they can implement on their side?
Yeah, I think, look, it's going to be tough for Waterford coming into it. They'll approach it and try and keep things steady. Treaty are kind of a bit of an anomaly as well, because they have a full-time CEO who's brought in a huge amount of investment. They have a lot of Canadian players who she's brought over to strengthen it. And it can be difficult to compete unless you have that backing. But it's something that Waterford might have to look to in the future. You might have to go out and kind of become quite inventive with how you attract players. I think there's an opportunity there if you look at SETU, Waterford and Carlow and the soccer courses there, and the possibility to maybe link in. I think that that would be something they could really capitalise in the future. But all these things kind of come with the years of being involved, and, you know, hopefully they have enough there to show local investors and show the colleges, what they have to offer in terms of a partnership. And like I said, I just really hope that it does work out for them. And obviously Gary Hunt involved there as well. I'd love to see him do well. I played for Tramore for a year, so obviously have that kind of affiliation to them as well.
Yeah. And I have to ask on it because we were talking to Gary Hunt last week and he mentioned that one of the big things for him was obviously implementing a lot of younger academy players into the side, but then obviously looking for young players across the region that could possibly bolster the squad on that senior level. He mentioned that he had reached out to you at some point with regards to kind of maybe possibly joining up, but that you'd wanted to spend your time obviously at P-Mount. How did that conversation go for you? And was it something that you'd considered when he came up with the opportunity?
No, look, obviously very flattered to be approached by Gary, and look, it's an exciting opportunity for anyone who's involved there. But for myself, I've been with P-Mount a long time now. I had one stint at UCD Waves, but I originated at P-Mount, and I plan on seeing out my career at P-Mount. This would probably be my last year playing anyway, so a move wouldn't suit me. I've bought an apartment in Dublin as well. I'm very, very settled up here. Obviously, part of me is rooting for them and hoping that they do really well and have I'm going to have a bit of a soft spot for them. But in terms of me and my loyalty, that's 100% with P-Mount. And like I said, it's probably my last year, so I'll be looking to finish out my career at P-Mount and kind of repay them for all the trust and stuff they've put in me over the years, because really is a wonderful club, not just in terms of success we've had on the field. There's it almost has that kind of GAA feel around the place. You know, everyone kind of knows each other, everyone looks out for each other, and that's a lovely thing for someone like me to have in Dublin. And yeah, just P-Mount will be where I'll see it out.
I want to ask, how influential do you think when you came back to P-Mount, obviously from UCD Waves, was that title win in 2019? Because obviously it'd been 7 years since then. I think the 2011-2012 season was the last time P-Mount had won the league then. For you coming back, was that kind of the turning stone for that side, for yourself and obviously for the supporters as well, that really helped you drive on and see more success in the years to come?
Well, to be honest, the bones of that work had started before we even came back. Like when we all left, basically the entire squad left, and they had to rebuild with youth. And then they, myself, Áine O'Gorman and Claire Walsh and Niamh Reid Burke, we kind of were senior players, and we all joined back, and we helped in terms of that kind of leadership quality, but the talent was there, and we were able to mesh those two things together and win that league in 2019. And that was due to a lot of the work that had gone on with the younger girls. And I think it's something we can look to kind of emulate with P-Mount now, because this is where the hard work goes in when you're maybe not winning titles, but you can build something that can be sustainable. Like we won two leagues in a row. We should have won a third. Then a couple of years later, we won another one, and that was because of a lot of the work that was done behind the scenes with the younger girls then. So I think it's like you say, having the mix of kind of experience and youth, but getting that youth working now and maybe having to go through some hard times for those big wins to come. That's what I hope happens in the next coming years with P-Mount anyway.
I want to look back a little bit before obviously joining up with P-Mount. I was completely blown away by the sort of the caliber of players that sort of came up all at the one time, for especially for the international side. You kind of look at when you were back in UL. I mean, you had a fantastic 2010. I don't know if I ever had a 2010 like you, I'd absolutely retire then and be like, that's me done now. But in 2010, just for people who don't know, you were playing with UL alongside Julianne Russell. People will now know I was playing for Galway United and for Ireland. You know, you won the Inter-Varsities Cup that year against UCD, which coincidentally also had a team that consisted of Louise Quinn as well. When you were playing back then, did you think that, oh, fairly adamant, like, you know, Julianne, myself and, you know, and Louise would be on the Ireland squad in a couple of years' time? Or was that just something that kind of you kind of ended up coming into the set and thinking, oh, yeah, I remember playing against you. You're really good, like.
Yeah, to be fair, the two girls you mentioned, they were kind of a couple of years ahead of me always, and I was kind of like wanting to emulate what they had. So we would have come up through the underage structures together from 17s, 19s. Louise was our captain under 19. I lived with Julianne in college, so I was kind of seeing what she was doing, seeing the success that she was getting. And obviously it was something I wanted for myself, not just in terms of individual ambition, but I had a lot of friends kind of that I'd made through the ranks coming up at that time. And you know, you wanted to stay involved with them. And I was lucky enough to get called in. Took me a long time before I got senior caps. Certainly was lagging behind the two girls in that front. But yeah, we had a great time. And I think that at the time, a lot of the football was based in Ireland, we all knew each other very well, and we were all quite close and rooting for each other and stuff. It's a more professional setup now, and it's completely different landscape. But we had a really, really lovely core group, and I think that was a big part of the motivation to stay going and stay pushing and build for success. And you can say what you want about going professional. I think it is the right move at this point. But then you see the work that Julianne had put in over the years, and it still stood to her at the age of, 33 this year, and she's a mother, and she's probably been the shining light and kind of the most recognizable name in women's football this year. So, I think that a lot of the work that went on back in the day shouldn't be cast aside, and a lot of the work that goes on at grassroots level and is still going on in our league needs to be commended, because we are still a feeder league for the WSL, WSL too, and without all the volunteers that are working really, really tirelessly in our league, we're not going to have people like Julianne, who have that kind of basis and that willing to work for their teammates, and just that love of Irish football and playing and what it means to play for Ireland.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring up, obviously, because pathway has been a big conversation over the last year. Particularly, I'm thinking of when Ciarán Kilduff was talking about the Athlone side and that the league needed to kind of implement even better, I suppose, pathways for players to get into the national team. And we saw that a bit with one of the Athlone goalkeepers getting into the squad's lineup. Do you think, I suppose, you have quite a number of years in the League of Ireland now. Has it changed significantly for you, do you think, in those pathway opportunities, or do you think it's maybe stifled at one point and kind of gone back up again and gone down? Or what do you think needs to be either introduced or reintroduced to help that successful pathway for players into the national team?
Yeah, it's kind of twofold thing. So we're training a lot more with our clubs than we were at the start. Like me and Julianne joined Piemont, we were kind of driving up once, twice a week. Every club is now training minimum 3 times a week, plus they're doing their gym sessions, plus your weekend same session. So it's 4 or 5 times a week with your club. But that's still not reaching a professional level. And back when we weren't maybe training as much at our clubs, we did have home-based sessions and regional sessions. With facilitated through the FAI, those have been done away with. And in order to bridge the gap between our league and girls going professional, to me, that's the part that's missing, those extra sessions being provided by the FAI, because the clubs are doing the best they can. You have to remember that the funding isn't huge for the clubs. It's really small. It's dependent on how much your coaches are willing to put in. It's dependent on how much sponsorship people are willing to give, and volunteers get willing to give up their time. And that's really hard to ask them to give more than they are, because, like I said, it's 4, maybe 5 times a week. So if they want more contact time on the field, it should be the FAI that are providing that. And unfortunately, from what we hear, the reason that those things are not in place is just due to funding. And as much as we can argue for it, if the funding isn't there, then it's a bigger, wider question. It goes back to everything that's been mismanaged within the FAI and government funding, and can they regain the trust of the government to get more funding? Can they regain the trust of sponsors and get more revenue generated through games? And you kind of need success to do that. So it's this whole wider landscape issue that is kind of stifling the growth of our league and to go professional, or at least providing that intermediate level of kind of extra training where it gives contact time on the field. Because, it's very, very hard for clubs. They are absolutely doing their best. Coaches are doing their best. And I can kind of understand the frustration when you feel you're doing your best and your players aren't being picked. But the reality is, professional players are training more, so they are more likely to get picked. And then we're going to continue to lose girls from our league because they know that you have to be professional to get picked. And yeah, then the league standard kind of ebbs and flows based on that. So it's a pretty complex one. I think the head of women's football and the FAI, they need to get really creative with their funding and figure out a way to stop that kind of drop off between girls who aren't quite ready to go pro and go pro too quickly, and keeping girls in this country and developing them and then sending them away when they are ready. It's a big question,
Oh
Oren.
yeah, sorry about that. I probably
No,
put too much things into
it's
it, but I mean,
okay.
I suppose on my own sense, I'm just thinking about obviously with Wexford FC and before Ellen moved over to Sheffield and now she's subsequently come back. But you know, she would have had sort of the same sort of quality of play before moving over to Sheffield, and then it almost seemed when she moved over, she was then named in the Ireland squad. Is there something to be said for there's an element of appearance of being in sort of over in England that maybe makes you a bit more likely to be picked in that sense, or is it something to do with something else behind the scenes there, do you think?
Yeah, it is. Like the management are right in terms of the standards. They need the girls training more times than the clubs can provide. It shouldn't shut off people from like picking from the League of Ireland here in Ireland, but like at the same time, it's going to be an anomaly, a Julianne who can reach those fitness levels, who can kind of commit to getting themselves up to that certain level. Like that's a very unique case. So like it is, there is a bit of snobbery that's been there since. That's one of the reasons why I retired from the international team, is because I was doing all my sessions. I was leaving, going into work early, leaving work early to go and make these home-based sessions, you know, sitting in traffic for hours, all that, and still being told, you know, in front of my own teammates that not being professional wasn't good enough. And, you know, I understand the need for the girls to go professional, but it was just something that kind of grated on me because I was trying to put in the time and effort. And it was very, very difficult at the time to do so and to balance everything. So the snobbery has been kind of been there for a while, but I guess it is backed up by the fact that we do need the girls playing at that professional level more often. And then, like I say, it's more about getting the balance of sending the girls pro when they're ready. Because girls, you know, they can develop at a much later date than boys. So sometimes when you haven't kind of reached the heights by 16 with boys, you're nearly written off. But for girls, the development can happen later. They just need more contact time, more coaching, because we're coming from, you know, we didn't get as much training specific like tactical stuff when we were younger. So it takes a little bit more time. It's getting better. Obviously, the underage, there's a lot more opportunities for girls and getting a lot more coaching. But yeah, there's a way to go there. So for me, it's that kind of vulnerable age between 19 and kind of 22, when you've gone past the Ireland under 19s and you're not automatically ready for the senior team. We see a lot of drop off from like a lot of the girls who I would have played under 19 with, like Julianne and Niamh Reid-Burke, are probably the only two who really pushed on to a senior team. And when you think of the talent we had, it seems like such a pity, but it was because there wasn't something to keep them there. You know, there wasn't like enough emphasis on maybe a World Student Games team for universities. I harp on about it all the time. An under 21 or under 23 Ireland team would really, really help to keep people motivated and allow them that extra time that girls might take to develop rather than fully dropping off at that stage. So again, that's an option there, but it all goes back to money and funding. And when we ask the questions, we're basically being told that it's not there. So it could take a long time before we see our league and this Ireland team kick on to consistently make these major tournaments, because obviously we all had a huge expectation for the Euros this year off the back of the World Cup. But I'm not overly surprised by the fact that we didn't quite make the cut, because there are gaps in the grassroots levels that are making it difficult to consistently produce enough top level pros.
I suppose when we talk about the international side, I have to obviously talk about the new manager and the big questions surrounding that. You obviously would have had a rapport with Eileen Gleeson, having played under a P-Mount and at UCD Waves. Were you surprised initially by the announcement of her departure?
It's not something that I wanted to see, having known Eileen on a personal level, but also when you saw the draw and where we should have been getting, it was hugely disappointing not to make the Euros. I think when Eileen got the job full time, like I was buzzing for her, but it was a little bit of a surprise given that, you know, her only professional job had been with Glasgow City and that hadn't gone brilliantly. Now, there's no one who knows Irish football or loves Irish football more than Eileen Gleeson, and she's dedicated her life to it. But does that always translate on the pitch, no. Off the pitch, it seemed like she brought the girls together. They were all loving life under her. But tactically, in those two games against Wales, we got it wrong. And unfortunately, that's what you're judged on. So while I was disappointed to see her go, just on a personal level for her, because I know how much she gives to it and I know how much it meant to her, I'm not surprised, because that is the level we're at now. These girls get a lot more media attention. There's a lot more pressure on them and there's a lot more expectation on them. And the standards they've set for themselves would be to make the Euros. You know, it's easier to make the Euros now than it was a few years ago. There's extra teams in it, and especially off the back of the World Cup, the expectation was there, whether that's right or wrong, because obviously I mentioned that we're maybe don't have as big a talent pool as we should do. But yeah, I wasn't hugely surprised at the same time.
Yeah, and what seems to be sort of, I suppose, a growing, worrying sort of trend is that when a new manager is announced, it seems to be brushed in controversy, whether it's the men's or the women's team. Is this something that, you know, I mean, looking back at obviously when Eileen was initially appointed and now coming into Carla being appointed, do you think she's already on dealing with an undue amount of pressure because of all the stuff behind the scenes, given with Mark Hanna or any of the other items of controversy coming up?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very early introduction to the reality of working with the FAI for her, which she probably wasn't expecting to be met with. I have to say, I found it disappointing, and I, you know, there's two sides to every story, but I think the fact that you've got the likes of Denise O'Sullivan like speaking out on behalf of Colin Healy, I think that there was a big element of disappointment with how that all went down. Like everything in time, it will go away and a bigger news story will take over. We hope that it's a good news story with Carla Ward coming in. Again, I mentioned Eileen's CV not being huge in the professional game. Carla's is a bit stronger in that sense. She had relatively successful stint at Aston Villa, so she very much knows the landscape of kind of that top level of football. I think it's a really interesting appointment. I'm excited to see how she approaches it. I know it's a 2-year contract and you can't really give someone more than 2-year contract, but for me the aim is should be the Euros and having a really good go at that. But that's 4 years down the line. I guess football fans are too fickle to think that far in advance. But it'll be interesting to see how invested she gets in to grassroots stuff here, how much she'll look at our Ireland underage teams and look to promote from there, if she'll look at our league at all, or if with her contacts that she has through coaching and playing in England, if she'll manage to recruit some more maybe English-born players who have got Irish grandparents and stuff like that. Because I do think that there's going to be a need for recruitment and development there, especially given the recent retirement. So it's not an easy job she has in her hands, but at the same time, she doesn't have any loyalty, so she could start this off with a clean slate and a brand new approach. And I think when you're off the back of such a big disappointment of not making the Euros, something like that can be really, really exciting.
And is it too early to say for you as to whether the international stage is getting better for women in Ireland, or is it a case that, you know, we've kind of already seen it kind of get better, and that move to professional you talk about as well, is that something that has been notably a very big improvement, but on the international side, are we going to see that in the next few years, do you think, develop even more?
But that's the way the women is go game is going worldwide. So our girls are going to continue looking to go pro, and there will be opportunities for them. But you'll see now there's less and less Irish girls in WSL 1. We're seeing them more in WSL 2, because with the growth of the English league, is probably the strongest in the world right now, they're bringing over more and more internationals. So it's the same as the men, you know, it's harder for the guys to make it in the Premier League. We see most of our players playing League One, League Two. That could be the way with us. So then it goes back to the quality of the coaching that we have here and developing kind of an ethos that players buy into from under 17, under 19, all the way through to seniors, so that when they come into the Ireland squad, they very much have an identity. I think that's something we do struggle with a bit. You know, we love that whole, oh, we're hard to beat, we're tough and all that. But the game has moved on there now. So we need to, again, peel it back a layer, see how we can produce more technically better players, putting measures in place so that they're ready to go professional and not just at the lower end of League Two, so that they can potentially break into a higher league. And then when they do come back, that they already know the identity of an Irish team. So there's a lot to it there, but hopefully a plan can be put in place. It would take all the underage coaches coming together along with senior coaches and you know, agreeing. But we've seen that work in the likes of Dutch football and in German football. They all very much have an identity. We need to keep pace with teams of nations of similar size to us and try and kind of emulate their success, because there are blueprints from other places that we can certainly learn from, that aren't all linked back to funding. So, like I said, Ireland just have to get really good people on the ground in the FAI together and get creative with this if we're going to keep pace with those other nations.
I suppose to keep this interview a little bit local, I'm going to have to bring up Camogie, because I'd be remiss for not mentioning obviously
Gladly.
that maiden senior county championship win. That was unbelievable. And I did earlier mention that 2010 was a fantastic year for you. But that also, I mean, alongside that InterVarsity Cup win, you also won the Ashburn Shield with UL. Coming up now, that probably pales in comparison to that win with Piltown. You have to be, is that to you, where does that rank, I suppose, in terms of your sporting achievements to date? It must be fairly high up.
Well, I always said before the county championship this year that my sporting highlight was winning the Intermediate All-Ireland, which we won in 2013. That was huge, huge for us. Like, and then it's been a slog. Sorry, it's 2015 actually. Yeah, it's because it's been a 10-year slog for us at senior. And we came close on so many occasions, and there was always just something like an injury or something that we felt held us back. And this year, you know, we're on the second year with the new management team in Piltown. Andrew Norris and, you know, Tommy Shefflin and Tom Coogan were in with us, and they just did immense work with the girls. And I say the girls because I was up playing soccer and doing my training up here. And I was lucky enough that they welcomed me back into the fold for championship. But the work was put in to get to this point of that senior county championship this year, and you could just sense the relief of everyone and just the crowd that gathered on the day. Like, everyone really, really got behind the team this year. It was amazing to see the whole club coming together, and when we were coming back, like, people putting on fireworks and lining the streets and everything. Like, it was an unmatched experience for me in terms of my sporting career. A lot of the soccer stuff is kind of stuff you do by yourself, because, you know, you work hard to try and make an Irish team, and a lot of that is kind of individual work, whereas this felt like the whole community had, you know, been holding their breath for a few years until we got over the line. And I'm so glad we did, especially for the likes of, say, Katie Power, who, you know, she's been on county teams her whole life, and, you know, the ups and downs that has come with that, with Kilkenny and the disappointments, and we've had so many club disappointments. So to finally put that to bed, I think that makes probably this the most special of anything that's on my sporting CV.
Yeah, I mean, it's distinctly very Irish as well that you can go on, play for Ireland at international level and probably go back home, and the thing that people most know you for is playing for Piltown, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I love it. I get a bit of a ribbon in the WhatsApp group for being a soft soccer player, right? But yeah, it is. It's something special. You know, I think anyone who plays GAA knows kind of the difference and the feeling that it gives when you have success, and how disappointing it is when you have those failures. And we've all experienced that in abundance in Piltown. So it was really, really nice to bring something back and have something to celebrate. And we actually have our kind of medal presentation and a social in a couple of weeks' time. So we'll be happily reminiscing on that county final again. But we actually thought we could go a little bit farther in Leinster and maybe, you know, let ourselves down a bit in the Leinster final. But I think it was just so, so important for us as a club to finally get over the line, and having lost so many county finals by a point or two, not to be seen as, you know, bottlers or anything like that. That monkey is off our back now, and hopefully, like you say, it's the start of a few more bringing them back. But the first one's always going to be massive.
Yeah. I suppose to anyone listening, it might seem a bit weird to think of transferable skills between soccer and camogie, but for you, it must be something of a almost familiarity, because you talk about that playing at an amateur level, but almost training like you're a professional. I mean, camogie is very much what you would have probably gone up through at the early stages of the League of Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, to be fair, I've been lucky that I was allowed to kind of do multi-sports growing up. I think it's a bit different for kids now, but I think there's transferable skills across them all. I mean, in terms of camogie, certainly the strength and kind of short speed that you develop is important there. Then on the flip side with soccer, kind of the reading of the game and the endurance that I can bring from soccer really helps me out when I play in the half back line in camogie. So I think that for me and for young people coming up, I would encourage them to play as many sports as possible until they're asked to differentiate. And even when they are asked to differentiate, maybe don't listen, because I played the two of them the whole way up, and it did me no harm, I'm sure, to the frustration of some of my managers on both sides. But I'm a firm believer that, like you say, they are transferable skills. They do help you. And not only that, just in terms of injuries, you're using different muscles, you're strengthening different areas of your body. Like, we see so much unfortunate injuries, knee injuries in the women's game and stuff now. I just think that having that bit of diversity in your movements and how you train, it can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, kind of one final question before I let you off, because I believe we're coming near to the end of whatever Zoom would allow me to record. Looking back at your career, obviously the major successes, is there anything that jumps out to you that you wish you had kind of dived more into, or maybe something that you look back on and think, I could have done that differently?
I suppose now that I'm seeing so many people go abroad and playing professional, it's something maybe that you think you could have done or should have done. But then on the flip side of that, I know my own personality, that balance has always been important for me, like being allowed to play camogie, being in college with my friends and being allowed to socialize and having work now, that's always worked for me. So I'd say from the outside, that's what people would maybe think of me. I probably maybe jumped the gun a little bit on my international retirement. Like I say, there was a lot of frustration there when I was being told I wasn't training enough, and there was other things that I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to continue working, I wanted to continue playing camogie. So, but it would have been nice to have added a few caps to my name. But overall, I don't think I can have too many regrets, because having won that county final now and having played for my country and won that league that we did a couple of years ago at Piemont in the manner that we did, and being lucky enough to captain that side, there's not too many people can say they have that kind of spectrum of stuff across their CV. So all of those kind of decisions I made led to that point. And like I said, this is probably my last year playing any sports. So I feel like I can go out with my head held high and be pretty happy with what I've achieved.
Absolutely. Well, Karen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks a million, Oren.